You are listening to a message that was given at Living Word Chapel, Oracle, Arizona. It is our hope and prayer that God will use this message to speak to you and enrich your life. For more information, visit lwcoracle.org.
Sometimes someone has to die so that we can live. And today we remember those that have fallen and died and given their lives so that we could have life in the United States of America. It's very fitting that we celebrate this event and this reality in church, because Jesus gave his life so that we could live. And so while many people are going to be enjoying a steak today, barbecue, go to the lake or whatever, for this moment, let's remember those that sacrificed everything so that we could have what we have. Amen? Yeah, it's a pretty solemn time. So we're going to be talking about family today. We're in this narrative in the book of Genesis. So if you got your Bible, I'd love for you to go there to Genesis chapter 4. And we're going to start in like verse 17. But let me start with a question. How many of you that are here today or you're watching online, how many of you are family people? You're oriented around your family. Yeah. You know the type. You do everything with your family. And it seems that you can't do anything without your families, right? And then that's one side of the pendulum. And I'm kind of reminded right now, because last night, about 1 a.m, my wife came in. And she had been on a group text because my youngest son, lives in Rogers, Arkansas. And they got hit by a tornado. And so a lot of Rogers was devastated by this tornado. And so my wife came in at 1 a.m. after she's been on group text. So she's pretty tired leading worship this morning. And she says, "Babe, we need to pray. We need to pray for Jake and Ishara and the family." And so the pendulum was definitely leaning this way, where family's everything, right? And then the pendulum goes the other way. And how many of you in here... you're not family people. You don't need to be around family. And better yet, some of you choose not to be around family. My mom used to say, "Your friends you can pick, your family they're given to you." That tells you something, right? Your friends you can select them, and your family you're stuck. Right? So today we're going to be learning about family, good and bad. We all need a Savior. I want us to look at verse 17 through 26, but I want to start out by the last point of last week. And if I was to ask you, what was the last point of last week? How many of you would right away say, "I know it. I know what that was"? Yeah, one person. The one that preached in Kearney last week. Pastor Mike said, "I got this. I know what it is." Well, the last point of last week was evil will saturate a society or a family that is outside of the presence of God. Evil will take its toll on that family. And we read, after Cain killed Abel, his brother, that the Lord put a mark of grace on him. He said, "You're going to be a wanderer in all the land. You're not going to ever settle." And verse 16 says this: "So Cain left the Lord's presence, and he settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden." Now, it's interesting to me that the Lord said you're going to be a wanderer, and Cain, because of his rebellious self, settled. Amen? And we're going to see a lot of that permeate his choices. So verse 17 starts like this. It said, Cain had sexual relations with his wife, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Enoch. And then Cain founded a city. I just want to pause right there. I want you to think about this. God said to him, you're going to be a homeless wanderer. You're going to wander all over the place abroad. And Cain said, no, I'm not. I'm going to build a city. And he founded a city which he named Enoch after his son. And Enoch had a son named Irad, and Irad became the father of Mehujael, and Mehujael became the father of Methushael, and Methushael became the father of Lamech. And Lamech married two women. That's the first time that we see polygamy in the Bible, right? Now, it kind of makes sense because they were outside of what? The presence of God. Now, God in Genesis chapter 2, when he created man, and we see the creation account of man, it says, for this cause a man will leave his father and mother, male, female, and cling to his wife, and the two will become one. Okay, notice that there's no polygamy there. So God's intent has never been a polygamous society. It's always been monogamous. Amen? So Lamech married two women. The first was named Adah. The second was Zillah. Adah gave birth to Jabal, who was the first of those who raise livestock and live in tents. If you have your outline, why don't you underline the first? He was the first. He was a pioneer. Or maybe write it in your notes. If you take notes, maybe write down there, you know, he was a pioneer in raising livestock and living in tents. His brother's name was Jubal. Instead of Jabal, it was Jubal. They didn't have a lot of creativity back then. The first of all, I would underline that as well. The first of all who played the harp and flute, so he was a musician. And Lamech's other wife, Zillah, gave birth to a son named Tubal-Cain. He became an expert in forging tools of bronze and iron, maybe weaponry, right? And Tubal-Cain had a sister named Naama. One day Lamech said to his wives, Adah and Zillah, hear my voice, listen to me, the wives of Lamech. I have killed a man who attacked me, a young man who wounded me. If someone who kills Cain is punished seven times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. Let's just pause real quick and just kind of take that in. Because Lamech is speaking in the place of God. God never said that they would be punished 77 times. God had said to Cain, I'm going to put a mark on you, so anyone who would even try to kill you is going to suffer a sevenfold punishment. But Lamech, because he was walking outside of the presence of God, said, I can do better than that. I don't need God to tell me. I'll do it myself. Whoever touches me, it'll be 70 times. And have you noticed that when we walk outside of the presence of God, we begin to dictate what God should be doing and how we're going to live our lives and how we're going to do things? It doesn't matter what we do. We do what seems right in our eyes. I know that would never happen in the United States of America, but other countries it could happen. In verse 25, Adam had sexual relations with his wife again, and she gave birth to another son, and she named him Seth, for she said, God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed. You notice that she's still internalizing what happened to Abel. And when Seth grew up, he had a son, and his name was Enosh. I love what it says next. At that time, people first began to worship the Lord by name. It speaks to us about two bloodlines. One is a godly bloodline. One is an ungodly bloodline. And things begin to make sense when you understand what happened in the past to what happens in the present. And what can happen in the future when a family serves the Lord and when a family walks away from the Lord. When a family submits themselves to the ways of God and when a family resists the ways of God. And I've got two takeaways that I hope can help us unpack the reality of family and maybe where we came from and maybe where we're at now and where we're going. I think it'll speak to us as a society and help us to understand how do we grasp, how do we submit to God's ways in a world that sometimes walks independently of God. And the first thing that I want for you to consider is we have to resist the temptation of becoming a talented individual or a family without God as the centerpiece of your life. What stands out to me about this passage is that you can be a very talented family and yet not be a godly family. I think we should strive to be both. We all have God-given talent. But it's a shame when we don't utilize it to bring glory to the Almighty. Amen? But I also will say this, because someone needs to hear this, maybe a young person that's in this service, maybe someone watching online. Every person has God-given abilities, and it's a tragedy when you don't untap that gifting that God has placed in each one of us. The church is a better place when you use your God-given gifting. Amen? Your families are a better place when you untap that God-given ability that He's placed in your life. Now, the real tragedy is when you untap it and you don't give glory to the Lord. Because it's not yours alone, it's what God gave to you. Are you with me? And what we see in this narrative is how when they walked away from God, when they walked away from the presence of God, it was all about themselves. There was a really good basketball player. He's a legend. His name was Larry Bird. Anyone ever heard of Larry Bird? He brought into reality that white man can't jump, but they can shoot. And he was lights out. And Larry Bird, I don't even know where his stance is with his Christianity, or I don't know all that, but I saw this quote and I thought it was wonderful. He said, "A winner is someone who recognizes his God-given talents." So Bird was smart enough to understand that every person has God-given abilities. And then he said, and when you recognize that you have this God-given talent, you work your tail off to develop. See, you work your tail off, as Leonard said, until there's no more tail left. Well, that's what Leonard said. You work your tail off to develop develop those skills, those talents, into skills, and uses these skills to accomplish his goals. And if you followed basketball, you know that Larry Bird broke a lot of records. He did a lot of great things, but he worked harder than most people. He was there at the gym before most, and he was there after everybody left. But he had talent. And we should all recognize, today I want you to recognize that you have a God-given talent, and he doesn't want you to waste it. He doesn't want for it to stay on the pew. Amen? He wants for you to walk in it. He wants for you to live it out because it's going to make society better. It's going to make your family a better place. And so we should be doing that. But talent without God is not a winning combination. And actually, it is the root of a broken family tree. When you walk away from the presence of God, when you walk away and you ignore God in your life, it only gets worse. Because the further you are from God, the more that you do godless things. And it transfers over into your family. It transfers into your family tree. So the fruit that comes out of that tree is, I did it my way. And when you come to the end of your life, you find out that your way was not the right way. So I think about a talented society, and I think about how wicked and dark it could become. I'm not talking about our country, but I could be. Behind the glamour and the limelight, there can be darkness and despair. And I see here that Cain's family was very talented. They were the first in many very important trades, and very important vocations and giftings. Adah gave birth to Jabal, and he was the first of those who raise livestock and live in tents. His brother, his bro, Jubal, you know, he was the first of all who play the harp and the flute. And then Lamech's other wife, Zilah, she gave birth to a son, Tubal-Cain. And he became not only the first, but he became an expert in forging tools and bronze and iron. Now, this is important because, see, you're reading this text and you're probably just saying, okay, you read it and it takes you 5 minutes and, okay, it's done. No, they were living together. And all their contemporaries, all the people around them were saying, whoa, man, there's no one like Jubal. Well, there's no one like Jabal. There's certainly no one like Tubal-Cain. These dudes are bad to the bone. Because they were the first. They were the experts. And so I thought to myself, before there was ropes and communities, before there was Texas Roadhouse, there was Jabal. Before there was Mozart, before Michael Jackson ever moonwalked, there was Jubal. Think with me. Before there was Craftsman, Snap-on, some of you men go like this, yeah, yeah. There was Tubal-Cain. Are you with me? And what I see here is that God has always given people the ability to succeed, but people have not always given God the glory when they do. That's why I believe that we're not called to make America great. We're called to make God great in America again. And I'm not pushing or undermining any political figure. What I'm saying is that we need God in this country. Because this country has become a very dark place. I don't want for Living Word Chapel to be a country club. I want Living Word Chapel to be a place where we worship the Almighty God through Jesus Christ, his Son. And when that happens, lives are transformed. Families are made stronger. And your family tree will change. Things begin to happen. Let me tell you something that... Sometimes eating crow is the best thing we could ever do. Sometimes humbling ourselves will bring the presence of God back into our lives. You might not agree with me, but I believe we live in a day and age of entitlement. If I was to poll young people today, I don't even think they would know what Memorial Day is all about. I don't think that they would understand that we don't deserve how amazing our country is. We don't deserve that, but people have fought hard and sacrificed for this amazing country. And I've been blessed to travel abroad. And what I've come to find out is when I'm traveling abroad, I mean, I backpacked Europe for 42 days as a sophomore in high school with $200. This Mexican was hungry. I'll never forget coming back to the States. I was so, so happy. Bean burrito was incredible. They didn't have bean burritos over there in Europe. They didn't have any burritos. What's up with that? But we cannot forget, beloved, we cannot forget that the talent absent of God is a disaster. Are you with me? And talent with the recognition of God is life-changing. That's the difference between a Tim Tebow and someone else that's you know, an All-American quarterback. The difference is that Tim Tebow says, yeah, I can throw a ball and I can run with a ball. But it's because of Jesus Christ. And we need to get back to that place. We need to own that. We need to make Jesus the center of our life, because Lamech teaches me. Lamech said to his wife, you know, Ada and Zillah, look what he says. Hear my voice. Not God's voice. Now, I want you to do some introspect. Hear me. I want everybody to look at me real quick. I want everybody to look at me just for a second. Hear me. Those people that are speaking to you and they're saying, hear my voice, you need to be careful with those people. May it never be from this pulpit that you're hearing my voice. My prayer is that I'm just a channel of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit working through me, we're preaching this right here. Because Lamech says, hear my voice, listen to me. That's dangerous. Listen to me. I have killed a man who attacked me. So that teaches me something. Anytime that you're outside of the presence of God, there will be a lot of bad things that happen. There's toxicity outside of the presence of God. Say amen if you believe that. There's toxicity that lives outside of the presence of God. I've killed a man. He attacked me, a young man who wounded me, and if someone who kills Cain is punished 7 times, then the one who kills me will be punished 77 times. What my dad did, I'm going to do it better. And it's not God who is saying, I'll put a mark of grace, but instead it's Lamech's vengeance. And the further we get from God, the further our kids will get from God. And we will live in a way that seems right in our own eyes. And how does James Reese know that? Because there was a time in my life when I walked independently of God, when I was far from the presence of God, when I didn't know Jesus Christ, and my life was toxic. And if I would not have given my life to Jesus and he marked me with grace, my kids' lives would have followed that toxicity. Let me tell you something that's very important. Ooh, should I say this? Family isn't everything. God is everything. I really believe that some people make family their God. In fact, and we're tempted with this, I raised my three adult children. When my three children became adults, they were pulled in a lot of different directions. And there's that temptation to compromise your convictions. Hear me, there's someone that God's going to speak this to you. There's a temptation to compromise your convictions so that you can appease your children. When your children need a model, they need an example that will not stray away from God's instruction and direction. And so many parents fall away because of their kids, trying to appease their kids when they become adults. And you appease your kids when your kids always needed someone to stand firm and stand in the purposes and the goodness of God. God, He's everything. And there's a fact, there's data to prove that God will make your families better. Not just talent. Because talent without God can lead you to ungodliness. This is what Paul wrote to Timothy. He said, physical training is of some value. And you guys know this to be true. You watch me preach every Sunday. You guys know that physical training is just good. Don't be hating. But it's only of some value, right? But godliness has value for all things. The reason for that is it holds promise for your present life and the life to come. So you should desire to be spiritually fit even more than physically fit. And we should want to be physically fit. We should want to feel better. We should want to, you know, if I get on the pickleball court, you need to watch out. If I go on that golf course, man, I'm telling you, I'm ripping that ball. It might go to other different directions, but I'm going to rip that ball. So the second takeaway is a choice that we all have. Right? It's a choice that we all have. And the choice is this. Choose to be the godly remnant who will call on the name of the Lord even when others don't. Let me explain what remnant means. Remnant means a few. It's those who go against the tides of society, the current of society. You go against it. You go against the grain of society. Jesus said, they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If you're not being persecuted, you're not really submitting to the things of God. Hear me now. If you can hang around with ungodly people and they think you're just like them, there's a problem. You're salt. You're the salt of the earth. Salt does three things. It preserves, decay. Before refrigerators, what did they put? Salt. It gives flavor. How many of you like saltless anything? And it also makes people thirsty. You ever been to a bar? You shouldn't be, but have you ever been there? They give you salty peanuts for free. All the popcorn you want for free. Why? They're just nice. No, they want you to drink more. Come on, tontos. So you're the salt. You're different. And you have to choose to be the godly remnant who will call on the name of the Lord even when others don't. You know, God will always have his remnant. What's going to happen to the United States of America? I don't know, but God will always have his remnant. See, I don't even know if everyone in here is a part of that remnant, because you have to choose. You have to choose to submit to the things of God. And when you leave here, you're either going to act like the world or you're going to act like God called you for the purpose. It tells us there that God had a plan. Adam had sexual relations with his wife again, and Adam went, woo, and she gave birth to another son. That was supposed to be funny, by the way. Woo, woo. It's church. We should enjoy the things that God created, amen? He created sexual intimacy. So she gave birth to another son, and she named him Seth. She said, God has granted me. Notice that. Notice the verbiage. God is in it. God has granted me another son in place of Abel, whom Cain killed, and Cain is walking independently of God. He's not in the presence of the Lord. So Seth grew up, and somehow this Seth who became the new Abel, he had a son, Enosh. And when Enosh began to grow, and because of maybe Eve pouring into their kids and saying, you know what, with God all things are possible, and we made a boneheaded decision, but God was merciful to us, and he gave me you, Seth, and now, Seth, you have Enosh, and it's all because of God. It's because of the grace and the mercy of God. And how many of you have said that? You've gone through things, and they've been hard, but you say, it's because of the mercy of God that I've gone through. No matter what I face, no matter what the devil has thrown at me, I know that it's because of God that I'm still here. I'm still standing. So when Enosh grew up, at that time, people, they first. Now, I don't know if you guys are even seeing this, but you notice that the sons of Lamech, they did first. They made tools first. They raised livestock first. Do you notice that? And look what it says right here. It's at that time that people first began to worship the Lord by name. I don't know about you guys, but I'm going to tell you something about James Reese. And I was the first in my lineage that I can think of, my father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, I was the first to become born again. I was the first to actually call on the name of the Lord Jesus. Where are you? Where are you? Because Jesus is the name above all names. And Jesus changed my life, but he also changed my existence, and he changed my lineage. And if I was to read my group text with my kids, and when we're talking about, so many times they're talking about the goodness of God. My son in Rogers, Arkansas, 5 o'clock in the morning, when he got out of Walmart where he works, he got out and he said, what a crazy night last night. But thank the Lord Jesus that he saved us. And I know, Jacob, you're probably watching, son, and I just thank God for you. But can I tell you something? I thank God for God. I thank God for Jesus. I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I know that 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 no matter what I face, I have his peace. And there's a difference. I'm going to talk to some of you. Some of you go, you follow different spirits. You know, there's the spirit. This is the spirit right here. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. That's a spirit. Holy Spirit, I need you. That's the spirit you need. He changes everything. So Enosh had a son. His name was Enoch. It says right here, if you go to chapter 5, because then we start talking about Seth's bloodline. It says, when Enoch was 65 years old, he became the father of Methuselah. Now, Methuselah had a grandson. His name was what? Noah. Very good. And after the birth of Methuselah, Enoch lived, I love this, in close fellowship with God for another 300 years. And he had other sons and daughters. So just let me say something to you guys. The Bible teaches me very clearly that it's okay. It's wonderful to be sexually intimate with your wife and have other sons and daughters. Say amen if you believe that. Yeah. Why am I saying that? The Bible says it. Okay, let me go back to what I'm talking about. That's just bonus right there, bonus. He had other sons and daughters, and Enoch lived 365 years walking in close fellowship with God. Then one day he disappeared because God took him. It's the only place that we see besides Elijah where Elijah took God with him as well. But Enoch, he was walking with God for 300 years, 365 years, close fellowship with God. And God said, I love hanging out with you so much. Just come. Lord, it's the greatest thing in the world. This passage has always left me in awe. Enoch walked with God, and better yet, he lived in close fellowship. He had kids up to 365 years, and then God took him. And he, you know, that's a wonderful thing. Could you imagine? You know, God takes you when your kids turn into young adult age, and you don't have to worry about that anymore. That's a joke, by the way. Because I know your kids, all your young adult kids behave real well, and your teenagers behave really well. But I found this, and actually one of our elders brought it about a month ago to the elder board, and we were at 7 a.m. prayer, and it just, boom, it just lit me up. It was just wonderful. And it's a tale of two fathers, two different families, and two fates. And the first one is Jonathan Edwards. He's one of my heroes. He's one of the greatest minds that God has ever given America. Jonathan Edwards is a leader of the Great Awakening. Anyone heard about the Great Awakening? I love Jonathan Edwards. He lived in the state of New York. He was a Christian. He was a Christ follower. He believed in Christian training. He married a girl of like character. From this union, men have studied him, and they found out that he had 729 descendants. And of this number, there were 300 preachers. There were 65 college professors. There was 13 university presidents. There were 60 authors of good books. And I love it when it says that, because you can write a bad book or a good book. So with 60 authors of good books, there were 3 United States congressmen and 1 vice president of the United States. And barring 1 grandson, there's always one, who married a questionable character, the family has not cost the state a single dollar. You want to change the economy, have some godly men and women walk around. Amen? Because it doesn't cost society. Then they studied this guy. His name was Max Jukes. And you can look it up. You can look it up. This is all history. He lived in the same state, right? State of New York. He did not believe in Christian training. In fact, Max Jukes, if you do study on him, he was an atheist. He married a girl of like character. And from this union, men have studied 1,026 descendants. 300 of them died prematurely. 100 were sent to the penitentiary for an average of 13 years each. 190 were public prostitutes. There were 100 drunkards. The family cost the state $1,200,000. They made no helpful contribution to society. Beloved, there's a difference when you walk in the presence of God than when you walk independently of God. There's data. There's things that happen. James Reed, I spoke to you about, I was the first born-again Christian in my family. My family thought I went nuts. They thought I was cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs and I was cuckoo for Jesus. And I talked to my mom's brother after they saw there's something happening here. There's something positive happening in Jamie's life. God is doing something. It must be God because his life is completely turned around. And I'll never forget talking to my uncle, one of the brothers of my mom, the Valenzuela family, in and out of prison. And I shared Jesus with him and how much God loved him and how he could change his life. And I'll never forget him crying like a baby, just saying, oh, I need that. I need that. And I said, Uncle, right now, this moment, you can give your life to Jesus and he will change your life for good. And I'll never forget these words. I'm not ready. And I'll never forget. We started conversing some more. And he talked about all our ancestors and how they had been in prison and how they had done this and some had murdered people. And he lit up. He smiled about all these things instead of grabbing hold of the one that could change his life forever. A little bit later, his son, Carlos, had a conversation with him. And he said to me, Jamie, you know why our life is so messed up? I said, why is that, Carlos? He said, we've hurt so many people. My dad, me, your brother. We've hurt so many people. And I said, Carlos, let me tell you that today that can change if you give your life to Jesus Christ. See, I remember I had a conversation with my grandmother. And as I sat on the bed, on the bed where she lay, she was telling me about, she said, this same kid, Carlos, who now I was talking to him as a grown-up, he had sat with her, and he said, the only thing that I want to know, Grandma, the only thing, lo que quiero saber, Mamá, es yo quiero conocer a Dios. The only thing that I want in my life, the only thing I want to know is God. And here I am talking to Carlos. I said, Carlos, today you can give your life to Jesus. And I'm speaking to someone here today because let me tell you, the same way I talked to Carlos is the same way that God is speaking to some of you today, because you've resisted the call of God on your life. You've resisted and you think you can do it independently of God. I'm going to tell you, sir, I'm going to tell you, ma'am, you'll never do it without God. Carlos, later on, as we talked, he says, I'm not ready. A little bit of time went on, and he got jealous because his dad was talking to a friend of his and treating him with the love that he thought he deserved, and he shot my uncle. He didn't kill him, but it hurt. Later on, my uncle died. Later on, Carlos got caught coming across from Las Cruces, New Mexico to Deming on the border station. They had dogs there. And he had cocaine, and he swallowed 3 8-balls of cocaine. He ate 3 8-balls, so he didn't have to go to prison again. He went into a coma, and he died that week. Let me tell you, there's a difference between embracing the presence of the Almighty God and Jesus Christ and living independently of God. So when I read this statistic, and I tell you, I own it. I own it because it took for me to walk away from my family tree to start a new one with Jesus Christ as a root. And there's some of you in here today that God is calling you, and you even spent time with maybe family and friends, and they're Christians, and there's something different about them, and it's not them. It's all about Jesus Christ. And there's a peace that surpasses human understanding that only God Almighty can give to you. Joshua is leading the people of Israel who struggled. They struggled leaving the gods of their past, and they were going to be tempted with the many gods of their future. And this is what Joshua says in chapter 24, verse 14 and 15. He says, I want you to fear the Lord and serve him wholeheartedly. How many of you in here would say, that's what I want to do? Serve the Lord him wholeheartedly. Put away forever the idols your ancestors worshipped when they lived beyond the Euphrates River in Egypt. And serve the Lord alone. But if you refuse to serve the Lord, then choose today whom you will serve. Would you prefer the gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live? Now, this is important because James reads, there were gods in my past, and there are always gods in the future, and they're always trying to pull me away from the Lord. Those gods are wanting to take me back to a godless place, and the gods over here want to take me away into a godless place. It's the same thing. And then he says, but as for me and my house, as for me and my family, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to ask you something, beloved. I'm going to ask you something, those that are watching online. Who will you serve today? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord who we know by name is Jesus Christ. And he changed my lineage. And he can change your lineage. And the Apostle Peter put it like this. He said, because you've given your life to Jesus, you are a chosen race. Your ethnicity does not matter because you have the blood, the DNA of Jesus Christ. You're a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation, a people for his own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. And you're not the same person that you used to be at one time, because you are a different entity with a new nature and a new existence. And it doesn't matter what you face, and it doesn't matter what comes at you. You're a son or a daughter of the Almighty God through what Jesus Christ has done for you on Calvary's cross. Now you can walk in the fullness of God. And that's what's going to change you as an individual. That's what's going to change you as a family. That's what's going to change you as a country. And nothing else. It's God and God alone. And to worship the Lord.
Amen.
Have this in mind. As for me and my house, we will
over the mountains and the sea, your river runs with love for me, and I will open up my heart, let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I could always sing of when your love came down. I could sing of your love forever. Sing of your love forever. I could sing of your love forever. for me, and I will open up my heart. Let the healer set me free. I'm happy to be in the truth, and I will daily lift my hands, for I will always sing. But when your love came down, I could sing of your love forever. 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 Well, God bless you. Have a wonderful rest of your day. We'll see you next week, Lord willing.